by Jerry Maguire and Flash Gordon. I mean, you would think, Jerry, that your name's made up. It's not. Your name is actually Jerry Maguire.
Actually, Jeremy.
Flash Gordon, we'll just go with that for the moment. But you're fully clothed, and that's the most important thing. Before we talk about why you're here and why and what we're talking about, just let's talk about proud Waterford men this morning. Did you watch the match last night?
Yes, we did.
Excellent.
And where did you watch the match, Jerry?
At home.
And where did you watch the match, Flash?
I was working at Revolution Bar.
You were in the bar working?
Oh, yeah.
And did you have to work, or were you able to look at the screen?
I was working, watching the screen. Everyone was depressed to the last minute, and next thing, place went mental.
Can you
believe
it?
Absolutely brilliant.
Can you believe
it? Absolutely brilliant.
But tell me this, what's it like knowing that it was a local lad that did the honours?
Oh, it's great. It feels proud.
Does it?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, good.
Like, John would have been in now and again back in his Man United days, you know, and everyone clambers to him and everyone is proud of him.
Yeah, isn't that great? What about you, Jerry?
Speechless.
Yeah.
Absolutely speechless. I thought the Germans had taken it from us, and then out of nowhere, John turned up like ever. And
it's 100th game. Like, I mean, it's a total fairy tale, really.
It was like, what, 2-3 minutes, and it was all over after going for 90 minutes with absolutely nothing.
I love that. That's the kind of that normally happens to us.
Yeah.
You know, we might take a bit of an out lead, and then we get a kick in the nuts going out the door.
Yeah.
But that's great, though. That worked. Sorry, lads. Excuse my language, but I just need to try and explain this. We've been here for years being beaten over the head, so it's nice to make a change.
Kick back. So, I mean, thanks to Jackie Charlton, we got where we did in the 80s, and now...
And now we're back in the game.
Now we're back in the game, yeah.
You kind of think that Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane, there's something about them that seems really solid. You know, you think, geez, they've got to get results, those lads.
Absolutely.
You would hope.
They will.
They're hungry. Okay, obviously, because we're on the radio, people can't see it, but Jerry, you certainly have come as much as you can with your Viking clobber on.
I have, yes.
Two lads with you as well,
my
who look like
here,
they're just from the set of the Vikings movie. Tell us, we're in the Viking Triangle, which is it's kind of, I suppose, Waterford's version of the Latin Quarter. It's the Viking Triangle in Waterford City. Tell me about it.
Well, what can I tell you? You look directly across the road, and there you have the city walls, the Bishop Palace built directly on top of it. If you go in, as you said, we're on the radio, we won't be able to see it, but
yeah,
in behind that statue carved onto the new museum, there's one tower. Literally 100 yards behind us, you have Reginald's Tower.
Yeah, beautiful tower.
And all the walls, this city walls here, actually run straight through the mayor's office.
Okay.
Straight through City Hall. So, like, it's fantastic. And it goes back up around, back onto the, beyond the church steeple that both me and you can see here.
Yeah.
And you can go down into the Norman section, which is back down by Revolution, and there's another quarter of a kilometre of walls and towers on the South Road, as I refer to it when I'm doing the tours.
Sure.
And it's the only other city in Ireland is actually Drogheda that actually has a quarter of a kilometre more walls than we have. So we're the only two, and Waterford being the oldest, thank God.
So what is the connection between Waterford and the Vikings? When did they went and make their presence felt?
In the annals, it's 914 to 912, 914, but they actually turned up in about 785, 795, and they originally settled 3 miles west of actually where we are now.
So when we think Vikings, we think mad hair, mad clothes,
hairy lunatics,
raping and pillaging and doing everything bad to mankind.
A good day's work,
Now, is that true? Because I heard that's not true. I even heard recently that the horns and the helmets weren't, are totally untrue.
No, don't. Let's not go there.
Is that true?
Let's not go there.
We get really upset by that.
That's the point.
That's Hollywood.
But that's what I'm trying to do, is debunk the myth. I presumed that the horned helmet was all real. So never had a horned helmet.
God, no, don't even mention it.
Hollywood.
It's like cursing on radio. You can't do it.
Is that bad?
It's that bad.
But to tell people so they know, spread the word.
Spread the word.
Where did that come from?
There is helmets out there, and they have wings on the side.
Right, that's different. That's not a horn, yeah.
They're not a horn. But from a distance, when we would have been entering a town or a village, probably from a distance, they would have looked like horned helmets.
Okay, but they're not.
But they're not. They're just wings that come down over the years. But they would have been for, not even like myself, a jarl, but they would have been for kings and top chiefs.
With the wings.
Okay, these were like having Ferraris. These were the top helmets to have.
That's a good way of putting it. But are the Vikings and the relationship with their stay, shall we call it, in Ireland, has it been misrepresented by history? Were they as bad as we've been told?
No, they weren't. No. They, how would you put them?
I think the majority of Vikings they came as farmers. They came to settle. They came away from their own land, which was highly populated, came to Ireland and intermingled.
They came in, they found better lands.
And they farmed on our land.
Okay, but did they steal our women and take our jobs?
They would have, yeah, they would have started like that, Jeff. Yeah, a bit of that for the beginning, and then they would have calmed down and relaxed.
Okay,
and
so they came in and kind of went mad, and then said, "Geez, I'm wrecked now. We'll take it easy now and just enjoy ourselves.
We'll hang out for a while."
What is the, you know, you talk about leaving a footprint in history. What is the Viking footprint? What did they leave behind?
What did they? Well, look, these walls, obviously, yeah. Fantastic towers. They left clothing behind because, like, I mean, they showed the Irish, really, yeah. Or the Celts at the time, they would have showed us how to dress ourselves instead of running around in goatskins and deerskins. They wore the Prada of the day. They weren't dirty, sloppy guys, as everyone thought they were.
So they were quite fussy.
Yeah. They were well-groomed, well-washed, well-dressed.
Because you think that kind of hairy,
Again, Hollywood, they ragged, give it the persona crazy carry-on. So,
you're getting grief now through the window. Don't mind those lads. Just because you're not dressed up. So they get that image.
Not dressed.
That's it, okay. They're in costume too, right?
Costume, yeah.
Okay, back to business.
But they would have wore the Prada of the day. They wore linens. They would have wore all various colours. They would have had reds, yellows. We won't say how they got the yellow, but they would have had yellows. They would have all chipped in to make yellow. Greens. They used everything that more or less we would have used today, only for we have chemicals mixed.
All right, so who is then, you're part from the Waterford Viking reenactment group?
Yeah, Waterford Living History, or Waterford Vikings, better known as.
Do you travel for weekends and things?
We go away for weekends. We go down to Mora, down in Wexford Heritage, and we literally live...
As Vikings?
As Vikings. We go turn up on a Friday evening or very early Saturday morning, and what you see me sitting in is what I stay in.
Which is,
I have a clean pair of socks when I go home. That's it.
Describe what you're wearing today.
I have my tunic, which is made of linen, the same as my trousers. I have a sheepskin jacket. I have a red deerskin, which was donated to me last year. The boys are wearing
the same. Oh, that's lovely, isn't it?
Yeah, that was one of five that was shot last year. A friend of mine, Elder Wild Venison, and he's one of six that actually culls deer in the country. He's one of two that are actually allowed to sell the meat, but he's the only one in the country that actually cures
and treats the skin.
He makes the jewellery, as I show you.
Is that out of bone?
That's out of bone.
Deer bone?
Yeah. He also makes, if I can pull it out.
Wow.
Here's my knife, you can howl that. That's actually deer antler. As you can see, the hair is still on the end of it.
Wow. And a blade at the other end.
And he's here in Waterford too. He's like the only one lifting.
So it's a huge sense of craft.
The amount of stuff, as you asked earlier, what did they leave? They left a load of stuff. Yeah. This, like Jason does this amongst ourselves, we trade amongst ourselves. Some are good at making clothes, some are good at doing woodwork, and we trade amongst ourselves. That's how we actually progress and gather a lot of stuff. It's not a case of spending a lot of money. I personally have to thank all the second-hand shops here in Waterford City because they've really helped out with various little things, bits of jewellery that women would be throwing out that the men would have wore, and that's what Vikings would have
wore. So they'd spot something for you and say, what about Flash the food? What would we expect at a Viking feast for dinner?
Viking feast, we host the feast after the reenactment of the wedding of Strongbow Naoife. excuse me, every year, every August. And we would do unleavened bread, which would have been sort of cooked at the side of an open fire. And then we do the posh one. We do slow-cooked shank of lamb and that kind of thing.
But it's nice. You definitely have the wings in the helmet.
Oh, absolutely. What Vikings would have done is went hunting for local game, rabbits, that kind of thing,
hedgehogs,
whatever.
Have you ever eaten a hedgehog?
I have, actually. I ate pork hedgehog once before.
What's a pork hedgehog? A
pork hedgehog is literally, as I said, it's pork. It actually tastes of pork. It's not as strong. Like, some people would think...
It wouldn't be as gamey.
And the shell is just like crackling.
So how do you how do you cook a hedgehog?
There'll be a lot of travellers now text in to correct me on this.
Well, you give us the Viking version.
I'll give you the Viking. It's more or less the same as the way as the old travellers would have did it. Is you'd cover him in muck, clay, and you'd pop him into the fire. Make sure he's dead first. Pop him into the fire.
You don't want to do that.
And you'd actually just roast him in the fire and you'd poke him around with a stick.
The needles on his head.
They'd actually, it's just like...
They just fall off like a shell.
So you're left
and all on the inside then is the meat, the juices and the crackling.
And you eat
and it's
it?
Actually, yes.
You don't gut it or treat it?
Oh, well, yeah, you'd gut. Well, it was all done for me when I ate it at the time, so I'm assuming the bit I had was lovely, so I don't know whether there was intestine.
Have you ever had badger or anything like that? Or?
No, not yet. But there's quite a few of them now. The winter end, they'll be popping up.
But you'd imagine the Vikings would have eaten whatever.
They would have eaten whatever was running around. They would have chased and caught hold of.
Or flown.
Crow. Well, no, crow would have been close to their heart, especially in this country. They mightn't have had ravens, so the crow would have been Odin's bird.
Oh, I see what I mean. Don't mess with the crow.
Don't mess with the gods.
Yeah, okay, good. I stopped for petrol on my way to New Ross recently, and the guy beside me was big, hairy mofo. And I have to say, he said hello. Anyone who's big, mad, and hairy, I've always found, are generally really soft. Do you know what I mean? That thing is a myth that you think they're big, hairy, and mean. And he said hello, and he's real nice. I said, what's the story? Where are you off to today? And he was heading off to Ardmore for about 14 hours of a shoot as an extra in Vikings.
Well, do you know, Waterford is highly represented in that.
Is it program. Really?
Yes, absolutely. There's 12 from Waterford actually in that between boat groups and locals, and next season 3
you must love
even
that
though
show.
It's been I do actually there's 2 young lads, they're up and coming, they're 4 and 2.5 and they will be they're in it.
Oh good.
I can't say too much,
but say not.
They're in it next year and everyone will enjoy it.
Where do people want to where should we send them if they want to know more about your Viking world? And
they can contact me on any of my Facebooks. They can contact me direct on Goddard Night Dog, or they can log on to Waterford Viking Walking Tours.
Oh good.
Which I also do around the city.
What a great idea.
The Viking, and they can find me there. My mobile number is on it.
Yeah,
contact me. And it's just another way, if you don't fancy playing golf, or if you don't fancy playing
midterm treat if you're in Waterford,
if you want to
go for a walking tour with a Viking around the city. What a great idea. Okay, listen lads, thanks so much. Flash,
thank you,
keep going doing what you're doing.
Thanks Ryan.
And as for you Jerry, thanks for coming in. And there's two lads I won't talk to today, but thanks for coming in. Who are they? Are they somebody's?
They are my two. No, they're not someone else's kids. I'm going to try and sell them here on air if we could do a raffle.
Here we go. Not going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
We don't do human traffic on the show. 51552. We'll do photos with the gang here and put them up on our Facebook time. It's Tubbs and Vikings for breakfast this morning. We've got to take a break. We'll see you after this.